So, Acts chapter 17, Paul is in the Areopagus. Can't seem to say that word for some reason. Areopagus. Ara, you see Ara, right? Ares. This is kind of the melding of Greek and Roman culture. So, Mars Hill. So Paul's waiting for a couple of people, and he's walking around, and first, what does he do? He goes to the synagogue, and he speaks to them. And he goes around the marketplace, and he speaks to them. And some guys hear him, and they say, hey, this is interesting, come here. Come over here to Mars Hill. We want to hear a little bit more about what you're talking about. Because what do? They sat around all day talking about stuff and listening to stuff. They loved to hear themselves talk, I'm sure. And so this is the people that Paul is dealing with. And he's teaching them, and he's talking to them about the one true God. And how does he do it? He gets his foot in the door with this idol, or with an altar that he had seen, inscribed with, to an unknown God. Interesting. And I don't know about you, but maybe our culture today is a lot more like Paul's day than it has been in a long time. Do you think? These different religions and teachings that are out there, and a lot of people are like these Epicureans and Stoics too. A little background on the Epicureans. I don't want to get too much into it, but what they taught, the way we tend to think of it, is people who are always drinking wine or eating food or whatever in the pursuit of pleasure, but that's not necessarily what they're about. Epicureans. Started by this guy, F. Icarus. They teach that basically you kind of want to be free from pain and also too much pleasure, because too much pleasure could actually cause pain in the long run. So it's the idea of being released from these two extremes of pain and pleasure. And the Stoics were somewhat similar, although they were all about, being in the head and leaving emotions behind. So anyways, very different. But this Epicurean idea is actually around today. And so I think a lot of the people that Paul is talking to could relate a lot to what's going on in our world today. And the message to Paul is very similar to the message and the people we talk to today. And Paul, after he speaks to these people, we don't have it in our reading, the gospel reading, but if you go a couple verses, out of all these people on this Mars Hill that are listening, two come to follow him. Dionysus and sorry. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. I have to look it up. It's not coming to me. But it's in the Bible, I'll tell you. You know where to find it. I apologize. But this, as Eusebius says, this Dionysus was in charge of the Corinthian church. So this one guy, converted by Paul, here in this place, is able to be a leader of Christians. But it's not a lot of people. Of all the people listening to him, it's gibberish. Paul is speaking the word of God, and it simply doesn't make sense to these people. So there is, in a way, a triple roadblock, just as much for Paul as there is for us today. Paul is using what we call, it says in a reading from 1 Peter 3, apologetics. You ever heard this word? Some of you have. It's not about apologizing, okay? I'm so sorry about Jesus, guys. That's not what we're talking about. Apologetics is giving a defense for the faith. It's being able to speak to people wisely about Christian things. So the books we have in the Bible are historical documents, and we can trust them. We also believe that they are the error-free Word of God as well, living and active, breathing. Doing. We can say that we know, as a matter of fact, that it was recorded that a man died and came back to life. This is apologetics. But apologetics only goes so far. It has a point to where it can stop. The only thing that saves is not apologetics, it is the Word of God working on people's hearts. So here is this triple roadblock that we deal with as much as Paul did back then. The devil. He's been around for a long time, so I hear. And he has been setting up many roadblocks in the way of God's Word. And the devil does a lot of things besides tempting us. He loves to twist God's Word. He loves to bend God's Word so that we use it in such a way that we look at ourselves. So evangelism, we tend to think of it as, I don't know, getting out there and knocking some heads around with God's Word, thumping some folks. What does evangelism mean? Where does this word come from? It means good news. It means good news. It comes from euangelizo. So when you are speaking the good news of Jesus Christ, you are evangelizing. When God's Word is present, declaring the forgiveness of sins, you are evangelizing. So when you come here, church, on Sunday morning, you are being evangelized. See? That's a different way of thinking about it, isn't it? Because here you are hearing the Word of God. Every Sunday is evangelism. Because Jesus Christ forgives you of your sins. But the devil will take this, and he will twist it. He will twist it. I was at my dad's restaurant. You may have heard this in Bible study. So I'm working at my dad's restaurant, and this, you know, I had some time to chat to this guy, and he comes up to me and says, you know, you've read those Left Behind books. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, guess what? You're going to be left behind. Now, in his mind, he's evangelizing. But what's he given me? It's terror. It's fire and brimstone. It's the law. The law is not good news. This devil is a wily fellow. He's crafty. And he'll twist God's Word. And he'll make it look like church and Sunday morning is not about evangelism, but about some rites and ceremonies and making me feel good or whatever it is. But the good news of Jesus Christ continues. Okay, second roadblock is the world. And this is something Paul's dealing with, right? These philosophers and these Stoics and the Epicureans, these people talking about all kinds of stuff. And they say, it's okay, Paul. We'll take what you say, and if we like some of it, we'll use it. But they rejected what he had to say. Because the message of the gospel is foolishness to this world. The scandal of the cross, where a man who is sinless would die for sinners, does not make sense to this world. And so this world will do whatever it can to manipulate this message, this good news of Jesus Christ. So, not to pick on feminists, but I'm gonna. Feminists might say, well, Jesus was a feminist. Right? Or a hippie might say, you know, I'm sure Jesus was just a good philosopher, man. Right? It's funny how Jesus looks an awful lot like the people that are talking about him. This world takes the image of the cross, we'll break it down, and reform it into an idol of ourselves. And another roadblock we have is our own sinful nature. Our own human sinful nature. I don't know if I need to go into this too much, but I think we know that this week has not been a good week, at least in terms of sin. Maybe we can put it this way. Who was perfect this week? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. I didn't raise my hand either. Our own sinful nature will get in the way. So we have this devil. We have this world. We have this sinful nature that will do whatever it can to pluck a kernel of God's word out from people's hearts. And it seems like all of this is stacked against us each and every day. Remember what Jesus promised here in John's Gospel. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. What we see Paul doing here is speaking by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not based on his ability to save people. The people were saved. It wasn't based on his energy or his fervor. It was based on the Holy Spirit taking a sinner where the good that he wants to do, he doesn't. And the bad stuff he doesn't want to do, that's what he does. And yet even through this broken sinner, God works by the Holy Spirit through the Word to save some. Even some people like us. As we live out in this world, fighting against the devil and our sinful nature, we are called to share good news. And the good news is not simply that God loves you, which He does. That's part of it. The good news is twofold. First, that although you are a sinner, a damned sinner by the law, you are cleansed and forgiven by Jesus Christ. And also, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to declare that this devil and this world and even our own sinful nature has been defeated. The war is over and the battles continue. So as we go from here, this place, you have heard the gospel. You have been evangelized. Your sins are forgiven. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, wherever it is that you go to speak to a culture that's all about themselves, to fight against the devil and to fight against your sinful nature, God is going to work through you. So be of good cheer, because Jesus has won. He has crushed the head of that serpent. He has risen from the dead despite what the world says, and He forgives you of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.